Welcome to Georgia Focus. I'm John Clark on the Georgia News Network. The Georgia Public Library Service empowers libraries to improve the lives of all Georgians. The innovative, scalable technology and resources provide great service to all patrons, no matter where they live throughout Georgia. Today, my guest is Julie Walker. She is a state librarian for the state of Georgia. You know, when we talked last time, you were telling me, you know, some of the things you guys at the libraries are doing, you know, during COVID, and it was a weird time, but you were still providing some great services for people. How are things now at the libraries? Are you opened up pretty much?
We are. Most of our libraries are completely opened up with all of our services available. Of course, they're very responsive to any changes in conditions in their communities. But for the most part, we are open for business and welcoming our patrons back in the door.
You know, you were a resource for people during COVID, people who maybe, you know, the kids who didn't have access to computers at home or adults. You did some things there. Was it that you told me that you could go into your parking lot and access Wi-Fi in some of the libraries?
Absolutely. Our libraries left their Wi-Fi signals on, removed their passwords, and in many cases boosted their signals so that people could come and do work in the parking lot, which, while that's not ideal, nobody wants people to have to do their work in the parking lot. It was a lifesaver for students. We even had a wonderful story of the director of the statewide Habitat for Humanities board conducted those board meetings from a library parking lot because his home was in an area, a rural area, that did not have internet service.
Wow. So did he do it like on Zoom or something like that? Or phone?
Yes. Did it through his tablet from the parking lot. So, yeah. And he contacted us to let us know what a lifesaver that was for him because he and none of the students in his neighborhood have any broadband service. And that's the case in a lot of rural areas in Georgia.
Yeah, that's very innovative. Very innovative. I've noticed, too, I've seen new libraries going up. I drive through downtown Norcross a good bit, and I've been sitting there, you know, as I go by, watching them build this beautiful, brand new library there, and it's huge. Now, so are you building other libraries around the state?
We are. We always have several libraries going up at any given time. Even during the pandemic, we opened several new libraries. There are many more under construction right now, and I've actually gotten to cut a few ribbons, which has been really rewarding to finally be back and seeing these gorgeous new facilities that are so up to date, that have wonderful spaces for children, for teens. They have maker spaces. They have all kinds of really wonderful collections and materials and programs and services for every part of the community. Every year we request matching funds for new library facilities, and every year the legislature very generously selects a few of our projects to fund. So that's something we always look forward to because I always have a list of communities that have their local money ready, and if they are able to receive a state grant, they're able to build a new library or to add on to one that they already have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one, I wish I could remember. I saw another one, too, and I can't remember where it was, but this one is really nice. It's right in downtown. It's huge. It's going to be a really nice place.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. Now, I know, you know, with things going online now so much, do you still have as many, this sounds like a weird question, do you still have as many books in libraries as you did?
We really do, because when you think about, for example, small children, there's still parents walking out with big stacks of picture books and story books for those very youngest readers. There's still so many people who want to have that feeling of a physical copy of a book in their hands. I just spoke to a community group last week, and every person in the room said they would prefer to have a physical book. Now, libraries are buying books in several formats because there are also people who want to download that book onto their tablet. So we're buying the ebooks. There are people who want to listen to the audiobook. So our budgets are stretching pretty thin, but we're determined to continue to have the physical materials that people are looking for.
I don't see how you keep up with all those books. You got to have, you know, the right books. You know, how do you know what to get? How do you know what inventory to get?
Well, that's the wonderful thing about the way libraries are set up in Georgia. They're very local and they're very specific to their community. I think I've told you before, we have 411 public libraries.
Wow.
And each one of those is responsible for building their own collection. So they know, those librarians who are embedded in that community know what their patrons are asking for. So every collection around the state is a little different. And then that brings in the beauty of our PINE system, which is our statewide library card, because that system connects all of those libraries. So if I'm in Athens and my library doesn't have the particular book I want, but the library in Savannah does, okay, I can just request it with my Pines card, and our statewide courier will bring that book to me in Athens. So I have access to over 11 million items, not just the number in my local facility.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, the Pines, is it the regular library card, or is it separate from your library card?
It's a regular library card, and anyone who lives, works, goes to school, or owns property in Georgia can get a Pines card. Now, there are a few of the library systems around the state who are not members of the Pines network and who have their own separate library card. And I think you mentioned Gwinnett County. They have their own separate library card.
Okay.
But if you live in Gwinnett County, you can still get a Pines card. If you ride out to Winder or Jefferson or Athens, you can get a Pines card as well. And then you can have access to the over 300 libraries that are part of the Pines group.
Okay. 11 million materials. That is a lot of stuff.
It is a lot. And because each library has a unique collection and a unique focus, it just broadens the amount of material that you have access to, and you can really find almost anything you're looking for in the Pine system.
Yeah, and I was reading too, reading on your website before we talked today about how you have certain historical books and historical emphasis on certain historical figures and things that happen in a certain place as well, like at maybe Atlanta, where you may have something on the civil rights movement or something like that.
Exactly. We have several local history and genealogy collections around the state. Most libraries have one, but mm-hmm. some of the ones around the state we have are really very spectacular, very in-depth, and genealogical and local history researchers go and visit those, and they are really treasures. Yeah. In our libraries.
But yeah, because I guess probably some of the materials you have, maybe they're out of print decades ago, and the only place you're going to find them probably is a library.
Absolutely. That is exactly true. So we are just so fortunate in Georgia to have so many really wonderful, unique libraries all across the state.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you have oral histories in libraries, too. Is that part
we
of
do.
It?
We do.
Yeah.
We do. And as a matter of fact, our libraries participate in several oral history projects with public radio and other organizations who try to collect those oral histories.
Yeah. You know, those are always fascinating because, you have to record because they're gone. You know what I mean? Like World War II veterans, you know, that I've seen oral histories for people that were in World War II. And it's just remarkable because once they're gone, you can't get those words back. And that's great to have archives of that. That has to be a huge resource.
It is. It's a really important role of libraries. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. The genealogy. People use, talk more about that. People do use the libraries to go back and see where Uncle Joe came from back in Italy or somewhere like that. So that's got to be, I'm sure a lot of people do that.
They do. Many, many of our libraries have dedicated collections specifically for genealogy. We also offer one of the most popular online databases to help you research your history called Ancestry Library Edition. Uh-huh. And that is something that is accessible at every public library in this state. It's part of our statewide Galileo database system. So people can use that to supplement the historical books in the library to do their genealogy research.
I recall, of course, growing up and using microfiche and microfilm and all of that, spinning through those machines to newspaper articles. You know what I'm talking about. We thought that was so cutting edge back then. And it was. It was.
It absolutely was.
Do you still have those?
We do. We do. Because all of those have not been converted to digital formats yet. So we're constantly working on that. We have a statewide program to digitize collections. We recently did a wonderful collection of African-American funeral programs that we digitized. So gradually we are putting those kinds of things into digital format where they will be safer and be able to access for future generations. But we do. We still have microfilm. We still have microfiche. We have all those things.
You know, that's fascinating. Funeral programs. How did that come about? I would have never thought of that.
we have a program out of my agency, our state agency, where we ask all of the libraries, what are the important and unique historical collections that you have? And they queue up to have us help them digitize those so that everyone in the state can access them. So it's not just if you walk in, you can look through this collection of funeral programs. So it's amazing, some of the things from maps to family trees, so many wonderful collections around the state.
Golly, that's fascinating. I never would have even considered that. That's pretty amazing. Well, we're talking about library cards and talking about Pines. I know you just had the library card sign-up month was in September, but it's not, of course, it's not limited for just 1 month. You can always get a library card, right?
You can get a library card any day of the year, absolutely. We love our library card sign-up month because our libraries use that as an opportunity for promoting library resources and promoting all the things you can do with your library card. And some of them have had some really clever ideas. One of the library systems went to local businesses and asked them if they would give their customers a discount if they showed their library card during the month of September. And this happens to be where I live. So I have been able to get 10% off my cat food at the pet store every day in September just by showing my library card. So it's been a wonderful community partnership effort when lots of local businesses have offered something special if you show your library card.
That's fantastic. Did you stock up on cat food, I guess?
Oh, I certainly did. And I'm going almost every day in September.
You know, that is so creative. And, you know, it helps out the local economy. The business gets a little more business, and they help out the local community. That is absolutely amazing.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Now, I have another library card kind of avenue to go down a little bit. We have something new that we're working on in the state that we're really excited about, and it's called our Play Card, and that stands for Pines Library Access for Youth. And the reason behind this card is that we realize that there are kids across the state who, for many reasons, are not able to be brought to the library by their parents who can sign them up for a library card because somebody over the age of 18 has to sign to get a child a library card. But we want every student, every child in the state to have a library card. So we are working with the individual school districts to use the student ID number that every single student in the state have. Every K-12 system in the state assigns a separate student ID number, and we are using that number to issue the child a play card. And it is a somewhat limited library card. The child can check out up to 5 physical items. They can use all the ebooks and all the databases and all the electronic resources. All this is free. Those books have no fines on them. So there is no penalty if they don't come back exactly on time.
Okay.
And that card can be converted to a full library card at any time that the patron can come to the library. But this is allowing us to put a public library card in the hands of every K-12 student in the state of Georgia.
That's great because school is going on right now. So kids are learning and, you know, they're back in school for the most part. So the library becomes a vital resource. So the timing is perfect on that.
Absolutely. I actually just saw a news report the other day of some children who had to go into quarantine because of a problem in their class. And they were actually sitting in the library during the day doing their schoolwork so that they would have somewhere to go.
Oh, okay. So they physically went to the library. They couldn't go to school, so they went to the library.
Right.
That's great.
Right.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yep. Yep.
Today we're talking about libraries across Georgia, and my guest is Julie Walker. She is the state librarian for Georgia, and she's talking about what all they have going on in the library, which is quite a bit. They always have a lot of good things going on at the library. The library card, I know you mentioned like Gwinnett County has its own separate one, but you can you use the library card anywhere, or do you have to use it in your certain community?
For those systems that have their own specific card, like Gwinnett County, you can use it in any of the libraries in Gwinnett County. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a Pines card from any of the 300 libraries that participate in the Pines program, you can use that card anywhere. So I live in Athens, but if I'm at St. Simon's, I can go in the library down there and check out some books. And then I can return them at yet a third Pines library because we have a statewide courier that moves our materials around. Okay. So the Pines card, you can use all over the state.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure I had that right.
That's right.
Yeah. So people definitely know to do that. Other services for students, you know, we mentioned school is in session right now. What are some of the other things that students can do at the library? I know, you know, when I was a kid, we'd go to the library and lay a bunch of books on the table, and that's what we did. We didn't have computers. But now with all this access, I guess you go to the library and use computers. But what are some of the other things that kids traditionally do in the libraries now?
One of the things that we have had in play for a couple of years now is a service that we call eRead Kids, and it's available in every library in the state. And it is a collection of eBooks for the kindergarten through third or fourth grade level readers. Because as you know, every time you see a little kid, chances are they've got a tablet in their hands, mm-hmm. and they know how to play those games. So we thought, why not have them read books on those tablets as well? So we were allocated a nice chunk of funding from the state of Georgia, and we were able to buy a collection of about 20,000 children's eBooks. And those are accessible from home. You can download those from your library's website. And that has been really, really successful, particularly during lockdown, because right. that did give parents and children the ability to continue to read and continue to have new titles. So that's been something that the kids have really enjoyed. Summer reading was back this summer, and it was somewhat back to normal. We had a couple of ways to do summer reading. You could go in person and collect your list of books that you read to get your summer reading prizes. We also purchased a program called Beanstack that's an online summer reading program. So families that didn't want to go in and sign up for the summer reading club could do that online as well. So there are lots and lots of things for kids to do. Many of our libraries check out laptops, Chromebook laptops. And for a lot of students who don't have those at home or are not issued those from their school, that's been a real lifesaver, that they're able to check out the technology they need to complete their schoolwork.
That's fantastic. How long can they check those out for? Or is it vary?
It varies. I think they're usually a 2 or 4 week checkout. But again, it varies from system to system. And last year, when everything locked down in March of 2020, we just checked them out to the end of the semester because so many students were caught up short, not able to complete their work, even college students. And we wanted to, and our libraries had to close down, so we just checked them out and said, keep them until the semester is over. So we're trying to do whatever is needed to help our students succeed.
What about things like story time? Are you doing those now where someone will come in and read to kids? Maybe it's an author or some type of character or something. Are you able to do those right now?
We are. A lot of our libraries moved to those outdoors for the summer because that just felt a little bit safer. But a lot of them that had large meeting rooms or large children's rooms were able to do some indoors as well. And they did have some guest performers, some puppet shows and magicians and things like that throughout our libraries. And they're very slowly and very carefully bringing back as much children's programming as they feel that they can do safely. Yeah. So we're really excited to see our families coming back in.
You know, I get my hometown newspaper still every week, and they usually have an article in there and show a picture of someone who came, like a clown or a character or somebody who visited the library and read to kids. And I always love that. That's always great, you know.
Yeah. Yes, we love it when the local zoos come in and bring snakes and all kinds of creepy crawlies for the kids to touch. That's very popular.
I might not go on snake day. I would have to.
Yeah, not me either. No, I'll skip that one.
Yeah, I'll skip that day. Then, of course, adults, there are plenty of resources for adults in the libraries. We talked about genealogy and the wonderful history projects you have going on in various areas. But what are some other things that adults can take advantage of in the libraries?
One of the programs that just continues to grow in popularity around the state is our partnership program. And this started 10 or 11 years ago with a partnership between public libraries and the Georgia State Parks and Historic Sites. And we partnered with them to be allowed to check out a park pass that allows a family to enter the state parks for free instead of paying that parking fee that you generally pay to go to the state parks. And it was a really mutually beneficial partnership because it got more and more families to explore the wonderful resources out at our state parks. And it saved the families money because they didn't pay for every person to go in. From there, we started looking for other partnerships. So now we have Zoo Atlanta, for example, where you can check out a pass for a family of four to go to the zoo. And that's not an inexpensive ticket right there.
Right.
So every single library in the state has these passes. There are passes for museums. For example, the wonderful Michael C. Carlos Museum on the Emory University campus, which features a lot of Egyptian art, is a really popular pass that families will check out to go to visit those. The Go Fish Museum down in Perry, Georgia. All of our libraries have a pass to check out for that. So we are saving Georgia families a lot of money while providing the opportunities to explore these wonderful resources all over the state and learn about things that they might not have visited otherwise. So that's just one of the things that every single year our partnership director is negotiating new adventures for people to go on that you can go through your public library.
That's great. I know I've always wanted to go to the Carlos Museum. We had the Go Fish Museum on the show one time. It is absolutely fascinating, but I hear the Carlos is great. So now that I know something like that, those are great ideas to do that.
It really is. Another one that's really terrific is the Center for Puppetry Arts in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. That one is very popular with our families. There's a Macon Museum Pass that gets you into three or four of the really interesting museums in Macon. So we're really trying to branch out and find all of these resources around the state that our families would enjoy. But that Park Pass has really gone strong for 10 or 11 years now. And I had it checked out last week because we wanted to go hiking in the mountains, and it's just a terrific thing.
Yeah, I've heard from the other side, from Georgia State Parks, that Kim Hatcher from Georgia State Parks comes on the show periodically, and she never fails to mention that pass.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
They like that. They seem to like the partnership as well. For other things for adults at the library now, I hear people who, you know, they maybe not have a computer at home. They're older adults. They go to the library and use a computer or read the newspaper online at the computer. Now, what are some of the other things that adults can come into the library and do?
Well, you're exactly right that computer access is just wildly popular. Every library that I walk into around the state has just banks of computers that are filled with people who either don't have a computer at home or don't have internet at home or who need some assistance in applying for jobs online. As we know, you can't hardly apply for any job without it being online anymore, or creating a resume, those sorts of things. We have purchased a program for access throughout the state called the Entrepreneurial Mindset Training, and it is an online training for people who want to start their own businesses. And people have really responded well to that program, again, available at every single public library, for people to think about whether they have what it takes to be an entrepreneur and to start their own business. One segment of the population that I'd also like to mention is people who are print disabled, who, whether they are blind or whether they can't physically hold a book or in any way cannot use a physical book, we do have our Georgia Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. They commonly call talking books, and you know, years and years ago they were actually books on tape. Today it is a download on demand service where any patron who wishes to use that service can call us and tell us a list of 8 or 10 books that they would like, and we download all of those titles on a flash drive and mail it to them.
Wow.
And we also, of course, circulate the players that they need to use those, or users who have their own computer at home can download those books for themselves onto their own machines. But it's such an important service for people who have lost their sight, who love to read but can no longer read a physical print book, but they can still read because they can have those talking books read to them.
Wow. That's, you know, I'm glad we always talk, because I learned so many things that, you know, I didn't know about libraries. I certainly learned a lot today about libraries. You've done a lot of stuff. You've been busy. No pandemic slowed you guys down.
It really did not. Another thing that we've noticed a real uptick in is our use of Mango Languages, which is one of our Galileo databases that you can use to learn a new language. Because I think all of a sudden people are starting to think, well, I might be able to travel to another country one of these days. I'm going to brush up on my German or brush up on my Spanish.
Yeah.
So again, that's just a great resource that people may not know they can get for free at their public library.
Well, if someone wants to find out about the public libraries, whether statewide or the library in their neighborhood, what's the best way to find out about it?
Well, a couple of options. Every single library in the state has their own website. So if you just put in the name of your library, where I live, it's Athens Regional Library System, but put your local library in and their own website will come up, which will give you that specific information about the adult programs and the children's programs happening right there in your town. or they could come to our website, which is georgialibraries.org, and that's all spelled out. Okay. And we've got all of these programs that I talked about, all of the partnership programs, all of the Galileo databases, all of the things that are available on a statewide basis.
Yeah, I was on your website a couple days ago, actually, and knowing that we were going to talk, and looked up all the things you have, and it's extensive, and you cover it all. And of course, I guess people can just stop by their local library, you know.
Oh, they would be so thrilled to see you. I hope that you will stop by your local library, because we missed our friends when they weren't able to come in, and we are really happy to welcome everyone back.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you guys are doing well, and you've maintained everything through all these strange times we've been through, and we'll hopefully be out of that soon. But always a pleasure to have you on the show, and I always enjoy talking to you. So thank you so much for talking today and for telling us more about the libraries, more than I think most people knew about it. Thanks, Julie.
Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed speaking with you, and come see us at the library soon.
And that is Julie Walker. She's a state librarian for Georgia, talking about the work they do at Georgia's public libraries. If you have questions or comments about today's program, you can always email me, johnclark@georgianewsnetwork.com. Hey, thanks for listening. I will talk to you next week right here on your local radio station on Georgia Focus.